powerful words. And as we sang early in praise time about, you know, those storms, I could spend the rest of our time together talking about storms that we need to pray about in people's lives and things. So many going on. Some of those still, you know, unspoken, and we pray for those. But just a couple to kind of let you know about so you can add to our list since Wednesday to pray about. Brother Leonard Hull has really been diagnosed with Merkel cell cancer, which is really aggressive type of skin cancer. But right now the preliminary things show it to be isolated, but he'll have surgery on the 29th, hoping to just take care of that. So pray for Brother Leonard and that upcoming surgery. Larry Troll's mom, Miss Sylvia, they took her to the hospital yesterday. Symptoms, things of a stroke. I'm not sure what's going on. Ended up with a high fever and was intubated last night. The hope this morning was to be able to do an MRI and determine was it a stroke, what's going on. So still some unknown things there from Miss Sylvia. Heard your husband, Larry, and Amanda. Just pray for all of them. And then just found out coming in the sanctuary that Graham Mangum, we prayed for Graham and had battled leukemia and gone through bone marrow transplant. His leukemia is back, and which is very serious. I want to pray for Graham and his dear wife Bridget. So, and our other list is full. So would you bow with me? Let's just bow. As we bow, I love the last words of the song we just heard, Lord, where it describes that we can be yours. And Lord, we're not yours apart from Jesus Christ. And I pray, first of all, for that person who is just sin sick this morning, is lost, in desperate need of you, and may realize that, but maybe this morning they don't realize that, Lord. But Lord, to be yours gives us our hope, and Lord, gives us your word and your plan for everything we're dealing with. Lord, I pray this morning for all those on our prayer list, so many, Lord, that are just struggling physically with things maybe that have been going on for a long time or even injuries as current, Lord, is this week. So many unspoken requests, Lord. Our list is long. Our lost list is long but really so short in comparison to truly the number of lost that you could connect each of us, the church, with. We pray for those souls. And Lord, I pray for Brother Leonard this morning. Lord, we thank you for the revealing, for the doctors and all that he's gone through so far, and even for a clear diagnosis, dear God, as bad as it is. But Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll prepare his body for surgery, that you'll allow, if it be thy will, Lord, the doctors to remove that cancer on the 29th. And we just ask for anointing to be upon the doctors and Leonard in that day and his family, Lord, and that you move. Lord, just continue to be with those in our church family that are battling cancer and just continue to use their treatments, Lord, and your hand upon them. And Lord, we pray for Miss Sylvia Troll this morning, Lord, there in the hospital, so very, very sick. We pray for her breathing, Lord. We pray for her fever. We just pray for all that she's enduring. We pray for wisdom, and we ask you to be with the testing, even today, that she might be able to have the testing, that it might be what you use to reveal to the doctors how they might help her, Lord. So for her dear husband and family, for Larry and Amanda, Lord, we just pray for them in a very, very special way this morning. And Lord, for Graham and Bridget, Lord, we just love them so. And Lord, just we can't even imagine, Lord, just the devastation of the news and what he's facing. But Lord, we know that he doesn't face it alone. We know of your power and your presence and your love and your mercy and your grace, your ability to heal again. Lord, we also know, dear God, that you are the one that is ever present with us and wraps your arms around us, Lord. And so we just give you Graham right now, asking for your will, and most of all, him and Bridget feel your presence and your peace. Give them wisdom. Be with the doctors, Lord. And we just, Lord, we just very humbly give this to you now. Lord, we've come with a hunger and a desire for your word this morning, asking, Lord, that you might open your word to us through your spirit. Lord, not under the ability or the weak power of my preaching, but, Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit, not upon our listening ears, but upon your ability to give understanding, Lord, spiritually, that will be possible that finite and feeble minds such as ours could ever grab a hold of. Lord, I pray you'd remind us this morning of how much we need you. And Lord, I pray that our hunger would be satisfied, our thirst would be satisfied by your word and your word alone as we walk with you as we leave this place. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 145. You may have still been there from last week. You may have got it marked there with your ribbon or something. If you weren't with us, it's in the middle of the Bible. Just open your Bible up in the middle. You'll be there in Psalms. You can find 145 there toward the end of those 150 Psalms that God gives us. I remind you this morning for our read, this is so basic, but it's basically very important. I found in my time in the Bible, one of the most precious things is, as I say often, I try my best every day to read a Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs, so there's one for every day of the week. So this morning, I was reading there in Proverbs 17. Proverbs speaks to our relationship with man in this world. Amen, and we need it. And then the Psalms, if you'll read about five Psalms a day, you'll finish all 150. It speaks of our relationship with God. Now take note there, 150 Psalms in dealing and spending time with God, 31 for man. We focus far too much on man and our troubles with man in this world than we do on our Lord. Amen? So let's read here in Psalm 145, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Dear God, I thank you for those three powerful verses. I thank you for David's listening to you and sharing with us on the anointing of the Spirit, Lord, how important praise and blessing you far more important than the way you bless us. And dear God, I pray that you'll begin to use our time in these coming weeks, Lord, to further understand your greatness. But most important, dear God, to experience the greatness of your forgiveness of our sins, of your plans and will for our life, Lord, and your purpose. And dear God, I'm thankful, Lord, that we're headed home one day. But you say in your word that you want things to be done here on earth as they are in heaven. Well, dear God, we do pray that your kingdom come and be set up in our hearts and our lives, or it will never be set up in our homes and our church and where we work and play. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we began over the last few Sundays talking about a great relationship with God. For some time now, I keep referring to that we need to be seeking Him is the most important thing in our lives. Seek Him first, to be sharing Him, to be serving Him, all those important. But I found out over time in my own life and the life of the church that what we do is we kind of settle in. Dickie, we kind of get accustomed. And so, okay, I'm seeking Him. I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to try to seek Him more this week and this year than I ever had before. I'm going to seek Him. But the definition of seeking Him, from our great God to just a God to help us get by is something that scares me. In my own life, in the life of just serving as a pastor, I read devotionally this morning. I like to read in Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. I mean, one of the great things of all the maybe negative things of technology, man, I'm so thankful. And I've got several of these devotions I've almost wore out. But I really enjoy most getting it up on my phone because I rush out sometimes during the day, wouldn't have my devotions with. So the devotion for the 17th today, I won't read to you. But there's an ending, really, and this is not in the devotion book. So if you get there, go online to read the devotion. It's just some wisdom from Oswald Chambers. If you don't know who Oswald Chambers is, he was really a great man of God who had a great relationship with God, who was basically fairly unknown his whole life. His wife printed the things you read, very humble man. But he wrote a book called Disciples Indeed. And listen to this statement. He said, am I becoming more and more in love with God as a holy God, or with the conception of an amiable being who says, oh, well, sin doesn't matter much? I'd say the Bible teaches us And I'd say our experience teaches us that we live in a world that what's going on now is we live in a world where, to be honest with you, sin doesn't matter that much anymore, does it? I mean, God's died for our sins, and we can have a little relationship with God, and we can be forgiven. I'm sad to say, sometimes church signs you read, enjoy church signs. I read the church signs, so go down the road, you know. And I even had somebody one time I'd preached and mentioned about a church sign, and they bought me a book full of church signs of people written in about church signs, and I haven't got a chance. I'm gonna pick, now before you go start getting on me about this or thinking I'm gonna pick at this pastor about this a little bit, but in kind of a serious way, I'm riding down the road to see this sign, and I can't tell you the exact. I didn't take a picture of it to bring to you. I guess I should have stopped and wrote the words down, but it said something to the effect of, if I can get this right, that we need to take advantage of the free insurance, life insurance that God purchased for us, that's free, then we have that life insurance. That sounds like a neat little thing to go on a church sign. The only problem with that is it's not very biblical, and what it paints is that's a picture. That's how most people in the world treat Jesus Christ. They treat him as life insurance, you know? And what do you do with life insurance? You purchase life insurance, you know, and hey, well, Jesus' life insurance is free. That's it. But you purchase life insurance, and what do you do with it then? Absolutely nothing, right? Absolutely nothing do you do with it. It's no good till you die. Now, is that the kind of relationship? Is that a great relationship with God? Do we want a relationship with God where he's just an insurance policy and I thank you I've got him, I'll live and do as I please, and one day because I've got my insurance policy and I got it for free, Scott, I get to go to heaven and I live forever with him. Glory, hallelujah. That's where we live in a world where sin don't matter much. I mean, it's more than insurance. My goodness, it's a relationship. So don't worry if you read that sign. I'm going to be picking at him too. But we talked in the very beginning of this, and looking at that verse 3, and the statement is, great is the Lord. And I don't think anyone here would argue with me. There's many people in the world that want the grace doors of a church, don't know Jesus. They're lost as a ball in tall grass, as Brother Bill would say. They wouldn't know him if they were in the room with him. But they wouldn't argue that God is great, and they acknowledge there's some type of God and somebody created things. I mean, they even got that much sense. Heaven pray for the folks that are just so, have lost it so much that they think there's no design by how we are and that we evolved from slimy green algae. Come on, let me give you a break. That's harder to believe and understand than just believing the truth of God's word. But if he is great, and we know he's great, and we don't argue that fact, then why don't we have a great relationship with him? Because a great God, if he says he wants to have a relationship with us, and he does, this is going to be a great relationship. We looked at that word great as we began. I wanted to give you those words again. What's that mean? What's a great relationship look? How can God be in our lives? Well, it means he's simply big in our life. Amen? And the question is he the biggest thing in your life? And for many times on any given day, we can say, no, he's not the biggest thing. Sometimes I'm the biggest thing of the day. Somebody else is the biggest thing. Work's the biggest thing. School's the biggest thing. Something I enjoy or don't even enjoy becomes the biggest thing. You have the greatest celebration. You have a new birth of a child, a birthday party, an anniversary. It's a big celebration. That's a big thing. You have a big hurricane building off the coast. That's a big thing. But God, a great God and a great relationship means that he is the biggest thing that's going on in our life. It means that the word means to be exceedingly, and that simply means that he exceeds everything else around us and he overwhelms and consumes everything. Hey, I promise you he will if we'll let him. I'm so thankful at times I become so overwhelmed and everything else is big in my life and is exceedingly and overbearing on me, and I could simply find myself getting on my knees praying, almost not wanting to get up because knowing how it's going to feel when I get up, not feeling any difference when I got down, nothing's changed, phone hadn't rang, Jesus hadn't showed up, but I can get up and my load's a little lighter, amen? And there's something as if truly that, hey, he really does want us to come alongside with a heavy load and he wants to bear it up. Hey, are the things changed? Can the day still kind of be going bad and stuff? Yes, but there's something about experience, and there's something about when you get along with God and just take time, any time, to be still with him, he'll exceed and be bigger in what's going on. Amen?
It means he's high, he's large, he's loud. Boy, things are loud, amen? People get loud in my life. My voice and my thoughts and my worries and my trouble get loud in my life. And he is the mighty one that's louder than anything else and stronger than anything that happens. We began looking and talking about praise a little bit last Sunday. I joked as I ended, I think I introduced probably the message today. Don't know how much farther we'll get, but what I challenged you and I to do this week was to really ask God this question. We've been asking him the question, am I experiencing the relationship that you want me to have? I think we've all answered that question, no. I don't think any of us will say, hey, I got that great relationship right where I need to be. I'm doing all right. Anybody with me there? I'm not there yet, amen? But the question I asked you last Sunday is taking a step further and just simply, no pressure, no solutions, no fixes, don't fix it, but how is my praise life? You know, because we were reading last week, and if you weren't here, I'll just remind you, we read those words in verse 2. It says, I will praise thy name forever and ever. Something we'll do through all eternity. So something that it even describes, that it paints the picture of blessing him every day, which is a form of praise that we'll do it every day of our life, all of our life through eternity. Verse 3, when we read that he was great, it said, look at it again, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. So the question is, and I read 150, I won't read it to you again, but Psalm 150 is all about praise. So as I thought about it this week, I'm thinking about greatly be praised. So I'm asking that question, God, what place does praise have in my life? Now being a pastor and sometimes getting overly, I can think too deeply and try to think too spiritually and worry about too much stuff when I'm preaching, I start saying, man, I don't want to put too much emphasis on praise because I don't want to get away from the cross and I don't want to get away from the power of the blood and I don't want to get away from prayer and the Word of God. And, hey, what are we doing here? I felt like God led us here because David has experienced his greatness. And David begins in this psalm with praise and with blessing these things. But I was getting worried about that. But boy, I tell you, as I asked God that question, I hope you did with me. Or maybe you got busy. Maybe there were other things louder and bigger this week and you forgot all about it, but try it this week. Maybe you weren't even here, so try the question being. But let me tell you what I found. As I prayed about that and I read those verses again and I thought about that, God began to give me the answer, and it's this. It's almost like a temperature gauge. You know, we think of the temperature. When we see in the morning and at my house, that's often the question. At night before we go to bed or maybe on the, what's the temperature going to be? What's the atmosphere going to be of the day? What's it going to feel like? It's going to determine how we dress and what we need to do and how we plan. So I found out, I think what God has brought us here is the praise that's going on inside of us. And the praise that's coming out of us like David is kind of checks the temperature. It checks the atmosphere of what's going on inside. So as I began to pray and think about that, I began to realize here's the problem. If I don't have that everyday praise and that everyday experience of his greatness and just being overwhelmed by it and being with David, if that's not going on inside, then it tells me the temperature, and I begin to relate back. It tells me clearly that all those other things, my focus on Jesus Christ and on the cross. See, remember, Paul said it best. He said, I just determined to not know anything among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus and the cross. I lose my focus, so the praise begins to wane. I'm not in my word like I need to be. The praise is not there. I'm not praying and seeing him answer or seeing him say no or not answer, which is okay too. Amen? I'm not, so the praise is not there. So I think why God is beginning us here and talking about this great relationship is it's our gain. So during the week I found, as my wife would tell you earlier, sometimes I get ill and frustrated, and she may be the very, my children sometimes, more her. Hey, who's the preacher going to get ill at and spread that on? My wife. Amen. Y'all okay? Can't do it on y'all. Lord, good gracious. I wouldn't be spiritual enough. I wouldn't be close enough to God or whatever. So my wife would tell you quick, I can get ill. I can get aggravated. I can be downright mean sometimes. Y'all all right? Well, I can tell you what. What I found this week as I thought about that and prayed about that, as I spent time living in this old world we live in, that, hey, the praise inside weren't there, amen? If there's an atmosphere of praise inside, if I'm focusing on those things, if I'm experiencing and understanding, if I'm letting him be great inside of me, in my mind, in my heart, in my soul, and all that, then it's going to overflow. And then when it's not inside me, it's not going to overflow. And I got a feeling, though, I think I'm pretty sure we're all the same, amen? He is a great God when we choose to allow him to be a great God in our lives. Amen? And it begins inside. So we need to, you might say, I need to read the Bible more. What's that mean? I need to pray more. What's that mean? Well, you can measure that by your praise. And if your life is not being filled with his greatness and you're not praising him inside and it's overflowing, then you just, simply go back to those basics. I own Jesus. Focus on the cross. I'm in my word and pray till it comes. Amen? Amen. I can't do a thing to affect the temperature outside during the day. Can y'all? I can't do anything to control the temperature. But I have complete, I got complete control of the temperature and the atmosphere of praise in my life. And some of you say, no, that ain't true, preacher. You don't know who I got to deal with. You don't know where I work. You don't know what's going on at school right now. You've got no idea. There are many other people that they're having an effect and they're controlling my action of praise inside. That's why I act like I do or don't act like I should do. So we go back to why David focused on praise. Why he focused on praise. What God is trying to tell us, we do control the atmosphere in here. And when we're not controlling the atmosphere in here, when he's not being bigger inside of us than anything else, then anything can be bigger in our minds and it can overwhelm what's going on. David begins with praise inside him because he was allowing the Lord to be more and more in control inside his life. I want to do a study sometime, if God allows, in the Bible of the idea of control. When we think versus God and man and the prophets and the kings and the priests, I'd love to do that one day because control, I found, when you look at control, control is something that in our fleshly nature we desire to have. Amen. I like to be in control. Amen. I love to be in control. I would like to be able to control more. How about y'all? Amen. Don't sound very spiritual, but brother, I'm telling you that is what's fleshly in me. I like to control where I go. I like to control what I eat. I'd like to control everything. And that's why Jesus Christ died on the cross for that reason. Because that's a sinful, selfish man that I am. And what he says is, in accepting, if I'll just die with him and surrender as he died for me, let him come alive in me. Then when Jesus moves in, folks, I'll tell you, praise is there. Praise is available. But David had chose to let God be in control. Y'all, that's good stuff, and y'all looking like you ain't getting it. Now, come on, if you can't give a half an amen, help me out. I'm going to put that on tape too, Jessica. Good grace alive. Listen, he is a great God, and he can be in control, and I want him to be in control, don't you? So he let him be in control, surrender to his greatness. And if you'll surrender to his greatness, it's going to be an overflow. But don't be worried about all those outside things. That's not where to start. And don't even be worried right now about where you're at and any of the basics of where you walk with him. Just take the temperature daily, moment by moment. God, how's my praise inside? Because listen, there ain't nothing better than have a praise service inside of you when outside of you all war is breaking loose. Amen? I'm telling you, there's nothing greater than that, but it's one of the hardest things. We're going to apply scripture this morning and move through it as much as we can. I wrote simply in my notes that every moment of every day, my relationship with him, I've got to look at. I've got to look at that atmosphere because, like I said, my atmosphere of praise inside me, the temperature level of the praise inside me for him or the lack of it will determine my relationship and my interaction with every other person. Amen? I'm telling you what we're looking at here in the Bible. Don't miss this. You get into a great relationship with God, and I'm telling you, it's going to help you have a great relationship with other people. But when you're lacking in that relationship, when your praise temperature's down, when the atmosphere's not praise, and you're not spending the time with him and his word and prayer and serving him and sharing him, if you ain't got your mind on Jesus on the cross, if you don't start there, it will take absolutely the most minute little word or little thing to happen that will throw us completely off. We need a great God. That's what he knew. Turn me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning verse 1. I want you to see this clearly. And I'm going to explain something. If we don't do anything else, I'm going to explain to you the idea of the sacrifice of praise. Because some of you are a little frustrated with me right now, and you should be, because I was a little frustrated with myself and God earlier in the week as I was going through this, because I kept thinking of circumstances in my life and in your life, and I was trying my best to try to, how am I going to explain this importance of praise? We live in a world that continually is just drawing every bit of it out of us. Amen? And it comes along the category of the sacrifice of praise. So if you don't remember any statement that I've said so far, or that I say, remember, For a moment now, I want you to understand, as you're asking about praise in your life, I want you to understand the Bible speaks of the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise. Look at me in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. We'll read these first verses, but we headed quick to verse 4. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longing for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they may be the same mind in the Lord. There was two fighting amongst themselves, sound like our world, don't it? And I entreat of thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. But look at verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Same book says you can know Jesus and be saved and forgiven of your sins. Same book says he loves you and can give you peace, that he can heal you. Same Bible that says you can go to heaven one day through Jesus Christ tells us that we'll rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's a picture painted in the Bible that he's expecting that we've got to maintain. Allow him to maintain this joy and spirit inside of us regardless of what's going on around us. He says on, then says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. See, if he's at hand, if he's really at hand inside of you, if he's, you're letting that hand be great inside of you, the praise is going to be there. It goes on to say, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and the supplication, with thanksgiving, there's the praise again. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me say very importantly, and that's one of the most special verses, I think, in all of the Bible to me personally, to know that the Bible describes that it is possible that we can have a peace from him, from a great God, through the praise that lives inside of us, through him inside, that we can have a peace, regardless of our circumstances, that we have a peace that passes understanding. That means is you can't understand how you can have peace. That everybody I prayed for this morning and everybody you're thinking about and for ourselves, that truly what God is more in concern, and I tell you, what is more valuable than healing, because oftentimes people are healed and then something else happens. Far beyond anything else in our life, in any circumstance, if we can have that peace of God, I'm telling you, that peace of God that passes understanding will raise the temperature of praise in your life and do things in your life that nothing else can. There's nothing any better. Give me all the money in the world. I thought jokingly or not half jokingly, either joking part of the time or crying, I've got to think about the great God. And we talked last Sunday night about the value of him. How much you praise him says how much you value him and what he's worth to you. And I thought, what if on the Sunday morning I would say to every one of you, I tell you what, it's a special thing. You don't believe how God is blessed. God has opened up a door. Somebody has come to me. And everybody that comes back tonight, I'm going to be at the back door. I'm going to give $100 bills out. I mean, God's in it. God moved upon this person, and he just was so, God's so important to him, he said, I want to give everybody that comes back to church tonight to praise him a $100 bill. I got a feeling we'd have a few more people on Sunday night than we normally do. What do y'all think? $100 bill. Some of you come, not you say, I didn't come because of $100, but the preacher said, but God was in it. That man gave it. Man, I'd be doing wrong not to come. But a God to some of us, he's not worth enough to come back again. Amen. Preacher, why don't you cancel that Sunday night service? Nobody comes. He still comes. Amen. Why don't you do that prayer Wednesday night thing? Because he's worthy. Y'all right. If anybody wants to do the $100 thing, come alongside me. We'll do it. Amen. I don't care how we get them in. I felt the baptistry. Maybe somebody will fall in it. Listen, we need to let him be great. Amen. The sacrifice of praise. I read a great, if you're not familiar with Greg Laurie, you need to get online, Google Greg Laurie. Greg Laurie, in some respects, in my mind, he's kind of doing the work that Billy Graham used to do. He's doing that work now. They still have crusades. They have large events, and he's just a great man of God. Recently is even become involved in our Southern Baptist Convention, but he's just a great man of God is what I love. And I picked up during that some things going on and praying for some things that were going on and some evangelistic outreach in our country. I began to receive kind of a daily devotion from Greg online. And he made this statement about the sacrifice of praise. He says, sometimes the last thing we want to do is give thanks. Amen? The last thing we want, come on, y'all, amen? Sometimes the last thing we want to do is give thanks and praise about it. We don't feel it. Amen? He says, it's one thing to give thanks when the bills are paid and our health is good and the future is bright, but when there's a sudden, even tragic turn in our lives, it's not near as easy to give thanks. Amen, amen. We live it every day. Every moment some turn is happening. But I added in my notes, it's not even just the sudden tragic turns and oh, they can be powerful, but I really believe it's these small turns. It's this gradual things. These small things are happening in our mind and outside every day of our life, and it's turning us away from the great God and that great relationship and that great praise, and it becomes difficult to know. We don't feel like praising anything. We don't even feel like sometimes wanting to go forward. So how in the world are we going to muster up the energy to praise Him? What it does is it turns us from God. Amen. It turns us from God, and then our praise is just not in us, and it can't come out of us. And remember what I said last Sunday, what we're focusing on right now. I'm not talking about praising Him in church and praising Him in praise songs. We're talking about the real meat of the matter. We're talking about the praise that goes inside of us. And I'm telling you, you can come here and smile all you want, and we can have the best praise songs ever, and you can put on a great act, but it's absolutely worthless to praise Him anywhere in any conditions if it's not inside. Amen? If it's not inside of us. I read that it slipped us away from God, and what happens, I wrote down a few words, when we begin to turn from God, we turn from the praise inside of us. Instead of there being praise inside of us, we turn to fear, we turn to hurt, we turn to aggravation, we turn to anger and frustration, we turn to pouting and pity parties, we turn to a point where we're just overwhelmed by every moment. And don't miss this, what God is saying, oh please, and from the throne of heaven, Jesus on His right side, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, is saying, please just realize that I can overwhelm anything, every little turn. Let me overwhelm it with praise. Let me draw you back to me in relationship. Let me prepare you, because oftentimes the little things that are turning us is not the big thing that's getting ready to hit us. Amen? And He's saying, listen, we've got to maintain the atmosphere of praise. We've got to focus on it. I've got to be in your heart, and there's always got to be this praise. And we say, well, God, I don't feel like it. What do I do? And the answer is, it becomes a sacrifice. The Bible in Psalm 106:1 says, praise ye the Lord, I will give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. But in Hebrews 13, turn me to Hebrews 13. Let's just turn together. You're not far there from Philippians. Turn to Hebrews 13. Planted another seed for a next time. But remember, I said we're going to focus on the sacrifice of praise. If nothing else, here we do it right here and we're done. Hebrews 13, beginning verse 14. Hebrews 13:14. Gosh, you can't miss this. You need to look at it. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, but to do good and communicate, forget not, for we which sacrifices God is well pleased, the sacrifice of praise. Lord willing, next Sunday morning, we're going to look in the life of Job, because I'm telling you, basically, without getting into the details of his life for next Sunday, basically, Job lost it all. And Job comes to the point, and we'll look at this, Lord willing, next Sunday, he comes to the point that he says, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job knew something about having a praise attitude inside him to help him face and deal with all that was going on outside of him. And see, the only answer to what's happening here in the Bible with Job, and when God paints that picture in Hebrews of sacrifice of praise, that's what it becomes. It's a sacrifice of praise. You don't feel like it. The circumstances don't make sense. And every one of us sitting here, we need to hear that. Because every one of us has something going on now. Something we're still kind of holding on to in the past inside. And there's something coming we know nothing about. That God, through His Word, is saying, listen, you're not going to feel like it. You're not going to want to do it. Everything outside of it, but you're going to have to get along with me. And you're going to have to make a sacrifice to praise me inside, so I can take you through what's going on. Greg Laurie, in that devotion, made a final kind of statement. He says that we were created to give glory to God.
The highest use of our vocal cords, of our lips, of our mouths, the formation of our words is to give honor and glory to God. God wants to hear us. Give him praise. We need to give God what he deserves, and that is glory. And what we're talking about this morning is inside, not outside. He said these words, I love this. He said we need to have what we might describe as a theology of thanksgiving. We need to understand that thanks should be offered to God regardless of our circumstances. Sometimes our praise will come easily, and other times, quite frankly, it'll be a sacrifice. But it's the way he designed you and I. And would you bow with me, and you should bow your head and close your eyes. I think what I began to learn this week in a new way is I didn't understand this nearly as much as I needed to. And I love to praise him, and I want to praise him. But I think it's a missing piece in all of our lives that we don't have the right atmosphere of praise inside. It's not the big part a great God wants to have. And we're suffering the consequences in so many ways. So maybe this Sunday becomes a little different than last. And we go from asking him about our praise to saying, God, I need to praise you. I need to thank you. But I don't feel very thankful. And I don't feel like praising. There's nothing greater than praying back and practicing what God says. So you come to God and say, but God, I'm getting along with you, and I'm bringing the sacrifice of praise. Lord, give me that peace that passes understanding. Remind me how I can praise you and take me through this. Someone here, you desperately need Jesus Christ. You're lost. There's never been a day and time that you really surrendered your life and allowed him to move in through his spirit. There's no real praise in your heart, and you know that. And you can't get it from reading the Bible and praying, coming to church. You know, and get it through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to beg of you right now, before you ever have a chance to come back to church, you might fall dead of a heart attack, be killed in a wreck. But if you've never given your heart to Jesus, I want you right now, there where you sit, to pray this simple prayer, to say, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know there's many things I do I shouldn't do. There's many things I should be doing for you that I don't. And I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Shed your blood to forgive me of my sins. And I want to come yielding myself to you, asking you to forgive me, inviting you to be my Lord and Savior. Dear Jesus, come in and take over. Dear Jesus, come in and bring the praise so I can begin to move forward in seeking and sharing and serving you. I hope you'll let me know. I hope you'll come forward and let us all know. I hope you'll let someone know you prayed that prayer today. How about it, Christian? How did the question go this week? Or maybe you just heard the question this morning, but how are you being answered to this message? How is your praise for him? I hope the sacrifice of praise helped you as much as helped me. It's so important, dear God. Help us to continue to study and understand it. But maybe you need to come to the altar this morning and just praise him. Maybe you need to take what's not maybe where you weren't inside and begin to help him do it on the inside at his altar. Or maybe you just are so led by some unspoken need, something on our prayer list. Just once we pray, you need to come and fill an altar. And inside, alone, just you and him, praising him for what he can do and what you want to ask him to do. Maybe you've been coming here and God wants you to be part of this church. We open the doors to receive you. We need you. As you be obedient to him and come and join us in this walk of faith. Whatever the need is, he's here. And he wants to give you peace. But it's going to be determined by how much of him and that greatness and praise you let him overwhelm you with. And then it comes. Dear Jesus, we give you this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join me. Amazing grace, my chains are gone.
Saved a wretch. like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My hope secure.